Going to read verses 1 through 6. And then Acts chapter 2. Going to read verse 40. Are you there?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted." Acts chapter 2, 1 verse there, verse 40, it says, "And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation." Father, it is in the name of Jesus we come today. We thank you for time in your word. We thank you for every listening ear. We thank you for every heart that is present today. And so I ask for clear thoughts and clear understanding that I would rightly divide your word, and Lord, I would rightly apply your word, speaking to those that are in attendance today. Father, after the teaching and the preaching of your word, help us all to become doers of your word. This I ask in the name of Jesus, and the people of God will say amen.
Amen.
God bless you, beloved. You may be seated in the presence of God. Amen. Considering these six verses here in 1 Corinthians and also verse number 40 in Acts 2, amen. We want to share this thought with you today. Get right, church, and let's go home.
Amen.
Get right, church, and let's go home. I know that's the topic of an old song we used to sing a long time ago. Amen. But as I read these verses and, amen, with the things that God was placing in my spirit to share with you today, amen, this subject or this song title continued to ring in my spirit, to get right, church, and let's go home. Amen. Now, having in mind the recent tragedies that have happened in our land, amen. And in particular, I'm going to name three. I know that there are many more, but it was my thinking and reflecting on these three and the aftermath, amen, is when God kind of placed this thought in my spirit. One was the child falling in the gorilla enclosure.
Amen.
Amen. Certainly that had to be a very scary time for parents. The mass shooting the other week at the club, amen, and certainly many families were and still are impacted by that. And also the drowning of the child by the alligator, amen, that come up close to shore and took the child back into the water, drowning him. And as I listened to the reporters day after day, they began to talk about these incidents and they began to analyze them. Some of the questions that continued to come up was, who was to blame? Amen. It seems that when there is some tragedy, we want to blame somebody. Amen. Who was to blame in the child falling in the gorilla enclosure? Why were you not watching your child? Amen. People don't watch the children. They let them do, you know what I mean? Just thing went on and on. So you know, the thing come up in my mind, we're trying to seem to me just pacify ourselves if we can place the blame somewhere. Amen. And the mass shooting, they wanted to know, you know, some of the questions. Who knew what? They even questioned his wife, the shooter's wife. Amen. Wanted to know, what did you know? Because, amen, there's an attempt, as I said, to learn something. Or what can we do to avoid this? What can we do to prevent this? What could have been done? What should have been done? Any number of questions come up. Amen. And even the child that was dragged down in the water and drowned by the alligator. Amen. Why did not the resort put up more signs? Why was there not more warning? Amen. And so these questions just kept coming. And amen. The Lord just began to place in my spirit, amen, about the church and the rapture. The church and the rapture. Amen. You see, we believe that according to the word of God, that the church, the believer, amen, the born-again believer, according to God's word, amen, will one day be raptured or taken up out of this world. We believe that. That's what we teach. That's what we look forward to. Talk about it. Amen. To be caught up to meet the Lord in the air.
Amen.
Amen. And as I continue to ponder on that, brothers and sisters, amen, I begin to think about the aftermath when you get up one morning and you don't see this one and you don't see that one. Because things are going to continue on. Amen. As they are, it's just going to be people missing.
Amen.
Are you hearing me today?
Amen.
Amen. So the Lord just pressed it in my spirit because I'm seeing that when it is discovered that the church has been raptured, then somebody's going to want to know, why wasn't more done? Why didn't the preachers tell the people? Why did the preachers warn the people? Amen. And so I asked the Lord, amen, in my time of meditation, I says, concerning me as a preacher, Lord, am I talking about it enough?
Amen.
Because when you get up one day and your brothers, sisters, your mother, father, your children are gone, amen, you're going to say, why did he tell us this? I think most of us have heard it. We have heard it. But in the book of Hebrews, amen, it tells us to be, amen, be careful of allowing things to slip. Maybe we need to look at that. Maybe we need to look at that verse. Maybe we need to look at that. That's Hebrews chapter 2. Because we want to, unfortunately, after things happen, we want to know whose fault is it. Why didn't somebody warn me? Amen. You have a car and you have a flat tire, and when you check it out, the tire was no good. You want to know, why didn't somebody tell me that I had a bad tire? We want to know, amen, after the fact. But I want us to learn to be proactive and not reactive. Let me say that again. I want us, amen, as children of God, amen, as the light of the world, as the city that is set on a hill, the word says cannot be hid. I want us to learn to be proactive, meaning that we act before, rather than to be reactive when we act after the situation. So now they go back and they put up signs and they do these things and they try to suffice, amen, the minds and the ideals of people. But some tragedies have taken place already.
Amen.
Some lives have been lost already. So it is when the Lord comes back to rapture the church. Glory to God. You're going to wonder, why didn't the preacher, why didn't he just come on out and say that some of us are not going to be caught up in the rapture? Well, the preacher said that again and again. But the Lord pressed it in my spirit, amen, to share it with you today. Now, Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, here's what it says. It says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Amen. Giving heed means we need to listen to. We need to take in our heart. Amen. We need to act upon the things which we have heard. It says, lest at any time we should let them slip. Take heed, amen, to the things that we have heard. This is why it is so necessary, people of God, that when we're in a time of Bible study and Bible discussion, that it is important that we take heed as to what's being discussed. Because you may miss that nugget that you're going to need next week. Amen. For it says, look at verse 2. It says, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast. Now let's look at that just for a moment. The Lord, back in the Old Testament, the Lord sent an angel down to tell Sodom and Gomorrah, amen, to tell Lot and his family that he was going to rain down fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah. Amen. The angel took Lot and his family by the hand and led them out. And we know the story. Amen. Lot's wife looked back. But the words of the angel was steadfast. Amen. Because when Lot and his family got out, amen, they looked back and the city was being destroyed by brimstone and fire. So it says here, after words spoken by angels were steadfast or correct, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. In other words, according to God's word, and we were on this subject somewhat in our Sunday school, amen, according to God's word, there are consequences for disobedience. Amen. There is judgment already in place. God is not waiting for us to, amen, sin before he issued and said, well, you should have done this. His word is already plain. So it says here, and every transgression and disobedience receive a just recompense of reward. How shall we escape? How are you going to get about? How are you going to get by? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Glory to God. How are we going to escape if we let the word of God slip? It's some things that it's good that we forget.
Amen.
There's some things I want to forget.
That's right.
But the enemy keep bringing them back up. But I said, in the name of Jesus, I cast you down.
Amen.
You ain't going to control it. I might think about it, but you ain't going to control it. But there are some things that we should forget or we want to forget. But the word says here, how should we escape, amen, if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. In other words, the word of God began to trickle down from one generation to another generation. And this is, amen, where the responsibility lies upon many of us today, is that we are to be in the position to pass God's word on down to the next generation. Amen. We should be familiar enough with God's word that we can pass it on down. Glory be to God. We've got to get right, church, and let's go home. Can somebody tell the Lord, thank you.
Thank you.
Amen. And so, having shared those scriptures with you, let's go back and hopefully we can begin in chapter number 10. Amen. Many times we read the words of Christ, especially over in the book of Revelation, where he says, if any man have an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Amen.
Amen. The Spirit of God is speaking today. Amen. It is speaking through events. It is speaking simply from the Word itself. Glory be to God. I was listening to Dr. David Jeremiah this morning, and he was sharing very beautiful, amen, and wholesome information, amen, in saying that God's Word, even though it was written many years ago, is so relevant even for our time. And how can that be so? It is because the nature of man have remained the same since Adam disobeyed in the garden.
Amen.
Man's nature has, amen, stayed in a state of disobedience. Glory to God. And that's why God's word, even when it was recorded over 2,000 years ago, that even, amen, it is relevant today because the nature of man is the same. Glory to God, if we don't yield ourselves up to God, if we don't repent, amen, and be transformed, as was brought out in our Sunday school, not conformed, but transformed by the renewing of our mind. What is going to renew our mind, saints of God, is nothing but the Word of God.
Amen.
Glory to God. The Word encourages us, let this mind be in you, that was also in Christ Jesus. How are you going to get the mind of Christ Jesus? By reading this book and applying the words, amen, to our life.
Amen.
Can somebody tell the Lord, thank you.
Amen.
Amen. And so Jesus said, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. Amen. Now to hear means that we, by faith and obedience, give a positive response to the Word of God. That's what it means to hear. Amen. When it says, he that have an ear to hear, let him hear. So hear means, amen, that through faith and obedience, we give a positive response to the Word of God.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. When we read in the Word of God, when it says, forgive one another, amen, through faith and obedience, we forgive one another. We have responded positively to the Word of God. But when we said things like, well, you don't know what they've done to me. You don't know what they said. I just can't forgive them. You are not responding. You are neglecting. You're letting it slip. You're letting God's word slip because his word says forgive. It didn't say try to analyze and come up with a whole lot of reasons why you need to hold on to it. How shall we escape if we neglect and let it slip? So, amen, to hear, giving that positive response out of faith and obedience. Now, this chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians, we went through the entire chapter in our Bible study, and we're not going to go through that today. But these first six verses were so profound and so compelling as I just continue to meditate on them. Amen. As I share it with the class and amen. It looks like they just would not leave my spirit. It says, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant or not knowing. That's simply what it means by ignorant right there. Not in such a degrading way as we use it perhaps sometimes, but it just simply means in not knowing. How that all our fathers, now the writer here is making reference to all of those that came out of Egypt, amen, that had been in Egypt for a number of years. God, amen, got Moses together and sent him down into Egypt to deliver the people out. So this verse is saying here, amen, I want you to know, brothers, Paul is saying to the Corinthians, how that all of our fathers were under the cloud. The Bible tells us that they were led by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night.
Amen.
Read that in the Old Testament. And all passed through the sea. All of the people, and some figures say it was 6 million people. That is an unfathomable number for us to think about. Amen. On foot, going through the wilderness. But that's what some put this figure as. But they got to the Red Sea, and the sea was in front, and Pharaoh's army was in the back.
Amen.
And they stood there and they watched Moses, under the authority of God, stretch out his rod, and the sea parted and the water stood up. Amen. Glory be to God. I don't know whether they heard the wind blowing that night or not, but the Bible says God sent an east wind and it blew all night long. Glory to God. And the next day, the seabed. Come on now, we're talking about the might and the power of God. The seabed was dry. And the children of Israel standing there beholding that. And so then, all of them, as this scripture says, verses 1 and 2, all of them went through the sea. Amen. Glory to God. Walked through on dry ground, looking up at the water.
Amen.
My God. And God had also made it. Woo. Man, I thought those plagues that he said in Egypt was something. Did you see that?
Amen.
That water just standing at attention. My God. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Get right, church, and let's go home. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen. He said, look, brother, I want you to know that all of our fathers, of course, he was talking about the whole group, not just the men, but he was talking about the mothers, children, and all of his sins. He said, and they did all eat the same spiritual meat. Amen. There was a time that they got hungry. We went over to Bible study. Amen. And God provided them with food.
That's right.
And God miraculously provided them with food. Then they got tired of that.
That's right.
They got tired of that and started to complain and murmur. Glory to God. Verse 4, they did all eat the same, they all drink the same spiritual drink. Amen. They had to consult God one time. They couldn't find no water. Amen. God called water to come out of rock. All of them got a chance to drink from the spiritual rock.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Because that rock was Christ. Take note of what Paul is saying here. Paul is, amen, is placing Christ in the Old Testament. Did you get that when you read it? He said that, amen, they got the water from that, amen, that rock, and that rock was Christ. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. He didn't just show up in Matthew born in a manger. Ooh, glory to God. I'm trying to contain myself. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. That rock was Christ. But here, beloved, the next verse is the sad commentary of all of those people that had witnessed all of those miracles and might of God. It says, but with many of them, God was not pleased.
That's right.
Now think about it, church. Go back. Let's rewind it a minute. I told you in the beginning, when things happen, we want to see whose fault it is. You want to say, why wasn't this done? Why didn't somebody say something? Then I come on down and I told you, God placed my mind on the church and the rapture. When you get up one morning or come home one evening from work or whatever, your loved one, your children, your parents or whatever is not home, you look for them 2 or 3 days and you come to the conclusion, oh my God, it must have been the rapture. And I missed him. Now I'm going to be in the great tribulation. Why didn't Pastor Robinson tell us about that? How come we didn't have some Bible lessons on that? Well, we had some. But sometimes we're not here. Well, we got to get right.
Amen.
And let's go home.
Amen.
Amen. This is serious. As I said, you know, we may not take it serious, but this is serious. When God weighs on the preacher. When God weighs his word, places it on the shoulder of the preacher.
Yes.
Glory to God. Because Paul told Timothy, amen, preach the word. He says, be instant, in season, and out of season. Reprove and exhort with all long suffering. Glory to God. So, the preacher has to declare the word. But at the same time, he has to be patient and loving.
Amen.
He has to accept being not liked by people. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. Huh? Nobody likes to be not liked, but in the ministry, sometimes that's what you have to deal with.
Amen.
And you just have to accept it and say, well, God knows. He's my friend.
Right.
He told me to say it.
Amen.
Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Look at here, saints. It says, but with many of them, all, we emphasize that in Bible study, and I think it was five alls there. From verse 1 through verse 4, you got five alls. All did, all drank, all walked, all experienced, all. But with many of them, God was not well pleased. So the question has to be asked, beloved, have you ever considered that what you're doing, is it pleasing God? Because we all come to church. We all give in the offering. We all clap our hands. We all say we are a member of the church. But is God pleased?
All right. Yes. Come on now.
Is God pleased? Is God pleased? It says, but with many of them, God was not well pleased. Have you ever thought about that? Amen. As children, after we reach a certain age of responsibility, we like to please our parents. As husband and wives, we like to please our spouse.
That's right.
Huh? We like to do things that will please them, and we are cautious about of deliberately doing things that will not please them. I'm talking about husband and wife that love each other. You know, if you got problems, I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about husband and wife that love each other. Then they are careful not to deliberately displease one another.
Amen.
Because they just don't want to do that. And so, the Lord being our Father, our Savior, are we thinking about whether we please Him or not?
Amen. Come on.
Is He satisfied, as the song used to say, with me? Is He satisfied with the way I walk? Is He satisfied with the way I talk? Is He satisfied with the way I live? Is God satisfied with me? Songwriter says, question in my soul today. Thank you, Jesus. Get right, church, and let's go home. These things, verse 6 says, now these things were our example. Mm-hmm. Paul was writing to the Corinthians at that time, but once again, God's word is so relevant, we can read it today and say that these things were, amen, for our example.
Amen.
Glory to God, amen, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Amen. They wanted other things that, amen, were contrary to what God would have them to have. There was a time the children of God, amen, they asked God to give them a king. And God says, I'm your king.
Amen.
But they said, no, we want a king like other people.
Yes.
So, amen, Samuel had this conversation with the Lord. And Samuel was very disturbed because they wanted a king. And God spoke to Samuel and said, calm down, Samuel. I'm paraphrasing when you read that. Amen. He says, calm down, Samuel, because they are not rejecting you. They are rejecting me.
Amen.
God told Samuel, they're not rejecting you, Samuel. They are rejecting me, God. Glory be to God. And so the Lord says, well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give them a king, but you go tell them what that king is going to do.
Amen.
Tell them he's going to take your son, he's going to take your daughter, he's going to take your property, he's going to take all your stuff. They said, we still want a king like everybody else. Glory to God. How many times, people of God, have we rejected what God has for us, amen, in favor of what we want for ourselves? How many times have we done that? Glory to God. God got good things for us, but we don't want to hang around and wait for what God has. We know what we want for ourselves, so we reject or set aside, amen, the things that God has for us in favor of what we want for ourselves. Glory to God. The word says it was an example. I don't know about you, but at this point in my life, having lived as long as I have learned to look at some things and amen, negative and harmful and hurtful things, and I try to use them as an example that I can avoid those things. I don't try to place myself as it's not going to happen to me, or I can do this and it won't happen. Amen, but I try to learn from what has already taken place. Yeah, the old example that we give, if there's a curve in the road and an individual goes down and he's going 50 miles per hour and the curve is too sharp and he wrecks. Hello? I'm not going 50. I'm not going to say, well, he just couldn't drive. No, if he wrecked, I'm going to learn from it. Glory be to God. And this is what Paul, amen, was telling the Corinthians. And this is what we have to, amen, what we've got to understand today, beloved, is that many times we are in the all, but are we also in the, amen, the many that God is not pleased with? If there is many that he's not pleased with, that means that there is a few that he is pleased with.
Amen.
I'm just talking about scripture. I'm not making this up. If you got a Bible, you read it.
Amen.
Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And so, beloved, if we have an ear to hear, if we have eyes to see, then we should begin to position ourselves and to carry ourselves that to the best of our ability. And I know people debate that and they say that you can't be good enough to be saved. But if you are saved and if you love the Lord, then you will live a godly life.
Amen.
I believe that.
Amen.
Now, sometimes I do understand that our, and when I say our, I'm talking about man, sometimes our measurements of godliness may vary.
Amen.
But what we call godly or ungodly, the other person may call just the opposite. So that's why I say we got to get in the Word and let God's Word be the ultimate church.
Amen.
Glory to God. And as I said, live according to the Word of God.
Amen.
If the Bible said, love your enemies and do good to them that despitefully use you, hey, do it.
Amen.
It may not feel good to the flesh. The flesh will resist it because the flesh is built up to get revenge, to get evil, to get back. That is how basically we come up in life. He punched me, I'm going to punch him back. But, my God, but when you become a new creation in Christ.
Come on now.
When you become a new creation in Christ, you don't punch back. Glory to God. You rely on the word of God, and God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. I think God is better at paying than I am. He got more resources than I have. He knows the whole situation a lot better than I do. So glory be to God. Let us use the things that are, amen, the things that are happening in our world to get ourselves right so we can go home.
Amen.
Because I believe that as I look out over the world and as I continue to look into the word of God, that they are beginning to come together, amen, with the many signs that the Lord said would happen before his return.
Amen.
Glory to God. Now, I was thinking about the song that we used to sing I'm going home on the morning train. Yeah, there was a line in there where we used to say, back train. No, train ain't gonna back. I was thinking about that. We need to leave that out, because train ain't gonna back. But I'll tell you, neighbor, they ain't gonna back. Now, I agree with going on the morning train. But you know, when you do that back train and get your load, no, it's gonna have its load when it takes off. It's gonna have its load. Ain't gonna be no back, my God. Ain't gonna be no back enough.
Come on, man.
Jesus. Amen. Woo! I'm not crazy. I just act that way. The things that are happening today in our world, people of God. And I told you to begin those three illustrations and many, many more things. But after they happen, somebody always want to know what could have been done. Whose fault was that? Why didn't they put this up? Why didn't they do this? Why didn't they go around that way? Why? When? Where? Why? All of these whys. Glory to God. But in many instances, it's too late. It's too late. So we've got to be proactive. We've got to get into, and how are we going to be proactive? Get into the Word of God. God's Word will condition us to be proactive. Amen. Even concerning coming to church, the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but so much more as ye see the day approaching.
Amen.
And that day approaching is talking about the end time.
Amen.
Glory to God, when you see the end, when you see the conditions of the world, what's going to happen? We're talking about it the other night. Amen. They're cutting down the habitat of the wildlife around us, and now we're going to have bears and deer and everything right in our backyard.
Amen.
And these things that we're not used to. What are you going to do when you go out of your house and a bear is on your carport? What are you going to do? All the available porches is at the other house up the road because they had one on their porch.
Amen.
What are we going to do? So I'm saying, glory to God, amen, considering these things, that it's just a matter of time when the Lord will come and rapture the church.
Amen.
I'm not saying next week. I'm not saying next month. I'm not getting into that date setting. I'm getting into the time, into the atmosphere, and to the signs that the Word of God points to.
Amen.
Glory be to God. And so, beloved, having said that and having considered, amen, the things that are going on in our world today, we've got to get right and let's go home. Thank you, Jesus. Acts chapter 2 and verse 40 is the conclusion of the sermon that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. Amen. When the Holy Ghost fell and the people began to speak in tongues and the Spirit of God gave the utterance, there was great concern about what is going on. And Peter began to relate to them what was happening. Amen. He referred them back to Old Testament Joel's teaching and writing. And he brought them all the way up. Amen. Starting at about verse 14. I think you find the verse, amen, the sermon of Peter beginning at verse 14 of chapter 2. Amen. And he concludes right here at verse 40 when he says, amen, thank you, Jesus, and with many other words, after all of that he said between verse 14 and verse 40, he said other words, but they are not recorded. It says, and with many other words did he testify and exhort. Peter, a man, was pleading and begging with the people right here. He says, save yourself from this untoward generation. What is an untoward generation? Amen. It is a generation that is out of control. It is a generation that refuses correction. It is a generation that refuses to be, amen, brought into subjection. It's a generation that has little to no respect for authority.
Amen.
And how many can recognize, amen, these conditions when we go out into our world today? There is little to no respect for authority. Glory to God. And I'm talking about across the whole spectrum, not just in the church. Amen. But in the world. There's little respect for police officers. There's little respect for teachers in the classroom. There's little respect for CEOs and the officials on our jobs. There's little respect because man, amen, have degraded into that position or that condition. I know this is strong. But as I said, that 1 Corinthians chapter 10, those first 5 verses, that's all. But then it says it was many of them God was not pleased with. He allowed them to come through the wilderness. He allowed them to go through the Red Sea. He allowed all of them to drink when they got thirsty. He allowed all of them to eat when they got hungry. But it said it was many of them. He was not well pleased. Because they were overthrown. What overthrew them was their lust. And this lust is much greater than lust of the opposite sex. This is lust for anything that is evil that God does not want us to have. And this is what began to consume them. Is they wanted this and they wanted that. Glory to God. We read over there in Exodus, I believe it is, that when Moses went up on the mountain to pray.
Amen.
And he is up there so long that the people told Aaron, look, said, make us a God. Because Moses, we don't know what's going to happen to him. And Aaron said, bring me all your earrings out of your ears, your sons, your daughters, bring all your earrings, and I'm going to melt them up here and make you something, make you a calf. The Bible says when he made that golden calf, then the people began to give the calf that credit for bringing them out of Egypt.
Amen. Come on.
Huh? They begin to say, you are our God. You what brought us out of Egypt. And the Bible told Moses, you got to get down from here. Because they have quickly turned aside. In other words, God was telling Moses, they have quickly forgotten that it was me that brought them out. It wasn't something that they made up with their hands. Glory be to God. They didn't see no golden calf when they were going through the wilderness. All they could see was the power of God being manifested. Glory to God. And then when they got out, they wanted to see something. And then when the calf was, they said, this is what brought us out. My God, God was angry. I suppose that they were some of the many that he was not well pleased with.
Amen.
Hmm?
Amen.
Glory be to God. And when we exhibit that same kind of behavior today, people of God, when God bring us out, then we begin to say, well, I tell you, the way I made it out, man, I did this. If we don't mention the Lord nowhere, you may have done that, but who gave you the idea to do it?
Amen.
Huh? Say, you know, God spoke to me and I did this and this and this and man, I come out. But sometimes we say, man, I tell you, I done a mess. I did this and I did that. Now, you got to be smart, man. And you put it all on yourself that you did. I don't think God is pleased. It says here, and I'm closing, save yourself. How do you save yourself? We're not talking about propelling yourself up to heaven. This save yourself is a voluntary separation from ungodliness on this earth. Let me say that again. Save yourself is a voluntary separation from ungodliness. Ungodly living, ungodly actions, ungodly thinking, but you voluntarily separate yourself. This is the saving yourself that the word is talking about now.
Amen.
When Peter said, save yourself. Over in Hebrews, be not conformed to this world.
Amen.
Was that wrong? Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Yes, the word can fill our hearts and minds with all kinds of ungodly thoughts and deeds. And they will stay there unless we flush them out with the word of God.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Pastor David Jeremiah this morning was talking about the power of God's word in any situation. He said, if you're depressed, he said, if you're depressed, get your Bible and read the Psalms.
Amen.
He said, just read some of the Psalms. And I guarantee you, if you sit there and read them and you meditate on them, God will lift you up out of that state of depression. But many times we want to resort to other things. We want to resort to alcohol. We want to resort to drugs and all other kind of ungodly and futile means of getting out of our depression. But God's word,
yes.
He made you. He made me. He knows all about us.
Amen.
He knows all about your situation. That is not too hard for him.
Amen.
Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. It is not too hard for the Lord. Somebody tell the Lord thank you.
Thank you.
Amen. God bless you. Give God a hand break. We've got to hear. We've got to hear. Will you stand with us right now? But get right, church. And let's go home.
Hallelujah.
I agree with the writer. I want to go home on the morning train. Don't be waiting around for any other train. But I'm not going to tell the train to back up. Because you can't give orders to the conductor. So Jesus is the conductor. Once he pulls off, when we tell him to back up, thank you, Jesus. We got to get ready and go home on the morning train.
You
know what time is going to come, but be ready. Amen. As we're standing here today, we will extend an invitation. If there's someone here today that have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, amen. We encourage you to come forward and begin this relationship with Christ. Amen. If you have backslid on the Lord, listen, there's no time to remain in a backslidden condition. A backslidden condition is not the end unless you choose it to be the end.
That's right.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
But if I were you, as the song we sang, I'd make a change.
Amen.
So we got some of us allowing Satan to beat us and knock us around and keep us around week in and week out. And we come and we sit and we hear the word of God. We feel the pull of God, but we don't make that change. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?